Aloha, and on behalf of KKCR, Kauai Community Radio, we'd like to invite those who did come to the first of the KKCR's Be Heard meetings, going out into the community to find out what the community's needs are. First of all, I'd like to thank Mayor Bernard Carvalho for coming out to Waimea and showing an interest in regards to the community's voices and what is needed during these times and these very trying times throughout the community. And also, we have with us George Costa, who is the director of the Office of Economic Development. Mahalo for coming out. Also, we have several members of the community as well. We have Ruth Place, who lives here in Kekaha, actually, and it's part of Waimea. Also, Paul, who is a member of the Community Advisory Board of Kekahu Foundation. Also, Lynn McNutt, who is with KKCR's staff. Also, we have with us Marge Dente, who's part of the Kekahu Foundation Board of Directors. Mahalo, Marge, for participating. And also a member of the community here. Ed, mahalo for joining us, yes? And my name is Mahilani Silva, and thank you for all being here today. One of the reasons why Be Heard Town Hall meetings came about is because a lot of people would call into the radio program and voice their concerns and opinions of what has been happening. So other than have them continue to call, we decided to try and bring this KKCR community radio out into the community so we can make it easier for the community to come to these meetings and basically express their concerns and also share. What I'm going to do is pass the microphone around, and if you have any mana'o in terms of sharing, we can do that too.
Yeah, I just wanted to jump in here for a second. We specifically didn't invite officials to come speak at the meetings because the intent behind these meetings was that the public would be the speakers. And so, and I certainly appreciate you coming out here tonight, both you and George, so thank you for being here.
Okay. I just wanted to say, KKCR, I wanted to attend tonight with, along with George, just to hear the community's, you know, because it says in your flyer here that we're hoping to get as much mana'o out, yeah? And just to see and take part in listening and hearing and being able to respond back to some of the concerns that at least gather. You know, we're going through some challenging times now. There's so many different areas that we have and we need to address. And we're doing as best we can within the county to address our environmental issues, our economic issues. And but today or tonight was, I wanted to really hear and listen to what are the concerns of the community and then go with that. Because for me now, you know, the storm passing was a major issue. And we did a great job as a team, county team, to address and be prepared to assure the safety of our people. And so I'm hoping that we can get some good dialogue tonight and I can take some information back.
Also, in the future, we're going to have other meetings as well. And I know your schedule might be a little bit tight in terms of this coming week because we're going to have another Be Heard meeting in Kaloa on Thursday. However, hopefully, we invite you to come to Kauai Community College on August the 18th if your schedule allows it. And that's a Tuesday again, next week Tuesday, and it's going to be at the Hawaiian Studies Halle at Kauai Community College, and it's going to be from 5:30 to 7:30, Tuesday, August the 18th. Okay. And George, I know as Jerry had mentioned, we didn't actually expect you to speak, but we did hope that you would be here to listen to the the community's concerns. However, since you are here, as director of the Office of Economic Development and your position, what have you seen in terms of the challenges? And have you identified any type of solutions?
Well, mahalo, and again, I appreciate the invitation. I some mana'o that I'd like to share is one, you know, I am a Kauai native and have seen the island go through various changes and challenges. And my professional career has been in the hospitality industry, which, you know, is and continues to be our main economic engine. And now, as the Director of Economic Development for the county, I am exposed to the various challenges that we now face, not only in the visitor industry, but construction and, you know, with the downturn of our economy, real estate market, the housing, it's affecting us in so many ways that I can't remember, at least in my lifetime, the challenges that we now face being this critical in all facets. From the Office of Economic Development, you may have seen that we early on this year, we went to the county council and asked for county funds to help with the visit industry to get that going and promoted and hopefully revive it, even in this tough economic times. Many of the hotel companies or the tour wholesalers that we work with have pointed out that even though there's been a slowdown in the tourism industry, there are those that are still aggressive in their marketing efforts that go out and seek those that are still traveling. And so that's what we tried to accomplish in the visitor stimulus bill or plan that we worked with the Kauai Visitors Bureau. That plan has just started taking effect actually this past July. We have part of that plan was to utilize a coupon book that we hope to generate revenues and business for our local businesses. We have 64 small businesses that have participated in that coupon book. The books were issued last week, as a matter of fact, and we hope to see our visitors that do come and that will be issued those books starting to really utilize that and taking advantage of the services that our small businesses provide. Another part of the Department of Economic Development is also dealing with agriculture, and that's a very important piece to becoming, as we would say, sustainable, you know, for our island community. And I know, having been in the visit industry for so many years, as that economic engine is humming along nicely, you know, all the other components feed off of that, like I said, real estate, construction. But now that's slowed down, you know, we turn to other areas where we can diversify our economy. And our focus as well is on seeing what we can do to help the local agricultural industry, specifically local farmers. And one of the initiatives that we are currently working on is a Kauai Grown program. Some of you may have heard of the very successful Kauai Made program, which in this neighborhood, Auntie Lilikoi has done very well. So again, there are incidents or examples where some of our small business entrepreneurs have done very well in these tough economic times. And so we want to use that as a model. So with the Kauai Grown program, we're looking to create a branding for local farmers so that we create an awareness and we start buying local produce. And part of that initiative is also to work with the local cattle ranchers so that we can go away from raising our cattle here, and what's happening now is those cattle get shipped off island, actually to the mainland, and that's where they're finished, and we end up buying meats that are imported back, and we have no idea if that's the same cattle that we sent off to the mainland or we're buying something different, and we're not even sure what those cattle have been fed. So one of the initiatives is to work with the cattle ranchers so that they can raise their cattle here, have a designated area on the island where no matter where the cattle are raised, they get sent to a finishing area on the island where they're finished, so the quality of meat is consistent, and then also look at eventually helping the cattle ranchers build a slaughter and processing facility so we can slaughter, process, package, and get our local beef out into our markets, again, utilizing the Kauai Grown branding program. So those are just a few examples that, you know, in the county we're, you know, working with different organizations to diversify our economy and help get local people back and working and circulate our dollars here so it doesn't go off island. Thank you.
Thank you. And now we have Bruce Place. Yes.
First, I'd like to thank everybody for being here. Just on what George was talking about, sustainable agriculture is an important part of what we need to look at. We have 3,000 acres sitting up on top of the hill here that's not being used. And you have industrial agriculture down in the flats and expanding into Robinson, which is actually going to save Robinson. When Kekaha Sugar went out of work early 2000, there was approximately 200 workers on 4,000 acres. Right now, there's probably only about 1,000 to 2,000 in corn, and there's 400 workers. So your ratio of workers for industrial corn is much higher than for sugarcane. So we really did not have a deficit in workers on this side. People that were out of work for Kekaha Sugar got to work for corn, and now we actually have more people working. Actually, they've had to import people in to keep the fields going. And with Robinson coming in, the same will take effect. 200 plus workers, they will probably, with 3,000 acres and 1,000 in process in being worked on, they're probably going to need about 400, 450 people. So the jobs are, as I can see it, are secure there. And it should continue. It's just how the housing will go, whether the current housing that Robinson supplies to the workers for very affordable rates will continue to be that, or what will happen to that housing area. That's to be seen. For the CLEO meetings that were held, started about 6-7 years ago, one of the agriculture issues was the non-availability of small agriculture lots for Waimea and Kekaha residents. Especially when Kekaha Sugar went out, everybody was wondering why the quarter, half, and acre lots didn't open up next to Kekaha for the local residents to be able to walk across the street and be able to grow local produce. And when we're talking about sustainability, I think that's a key, especially here on the west side, is I think the county really needs to look at working with the state and landowners to open up these areas, and also working with the water conservation to be able to get water down there, everything at affordable. Because we have a lot of people that farm and grow stuff over here, and again, we have Waimea Craft Fair down here, which has a small farmer's market, which is 5 days a week, at the Sunshine Markets, and it would be nice to have a daily place that local residents can bring food and be able to sell. But first we have to get the land, and that's key. Because you can look around right now, and it's just sitting there. On a concern that's been brought up to me quite a bit, and especially now since corn's expanding into Robinson, is the industrial agriculture and its effect on the local community and environment. A friend of mine, when I was out in the water the other day, was wondering if there was going to be a buffer zone between corn and the ocean, because he uses the ocean all the time, and then we eat out of the ocean. And whether there could be a buffer zone that would filter the chemicals out. So I said, I don't know. That's kind of up to wherever the lease land is. That's private land. So hopefully there is one. But I've always been an advocate of disclosure for the industrial agriculture. This is where the county could possibly step in. And even so, I hate to see new laws, and I know they're always hard to enforce. But I think a disclosure ordinance where what comes in on the barges and what comes into these industrial agricultural operations is disclosed to the county. We have approached them about it on just disclosing, and it's proprietary information because it is the business's livelihood. It is what they have experiments going on, so it's a product. So they consider it proprietary information, and they don't want to release it. But to be released to the county on the condition that it will stay with the county, it is archived and it is not public knowledge because it is proprietary information. But to have the information there of all these chemical compounds that come in, that when an incident happens, such as Waimea Canyon School, the database is at the county's fingertips to figure out where the pollutants came from, not having to spend, what did we do, a bill for $50,000 to have CTEC, the one from Honolulu, come over, Dr. Liu, I believe he was, and we never got I have yet to see anything back from that. That was $50,000 that went into a black hole. I know Councilmember Raposo was going to look into that, but he did not make it into he actually decided to run for mayor, didn't make it to be mayor, and was not in the council. And that was one of the key things, and that's one of our legislations that has gone. There's $50,000 that we don't know what happened. That report was supposed to be back about 6 months ago. So, and I think these are concerns from the community that I hear, and very few people will come up and actually say. But we do have concerns. As for one of the big issues out here has been the landfill. We have it. It's been there. Everybody's not that happy with it, but they can live with a lined landfill. One of the great concerns that we've had is the unlined landfill, which is phase one. It's sitting in the groundwater. And everybody here that's been here for 30 years knows what's in there. They dug a big pit 10 feet below the groundwater and dumped everything in it. That's cars with batteries and the whole thing. It's one of the issues that needs to be looked at in the current expansion of the landfill is to, as we go from the cell one to cell two to cell three, we need to, cell three is supposed to go above phase one, which is the unlined landfill. We need to look at the landfill and be able to pull phase one out, bring it up into cell two. In doing that, we can then use all of phase one as a larger cell three. The key to making the landfill out here last longer is material recycling facility. I believe that's MRF. When you speak about that, I spoke with Allison briefly yesterday about it, and she goes, well, that has to be located close to a port. Because basically a recycling facility ships everything out. Well, that means you're trying to save oil, you're trying to save resources, but what you're doing is you're getting recycled material, you're putting it in something that burns oil to send it out, then you're going to process it somewhere, burning oil, then burn oil to bring it back to us. If we're going to look at sustainability, we need to put this to the KCC kids. How do we recycle our materials on island? We don't want to ship them out. You have bottles. There was bottling plants throughout this island. There was one in Waimea. You can destroy bottles and put them in the road. You can use them for sandblasting. But what a novel idea would it be to use our bottles to make new bottles And maybe if we have enough bottles shipped in, we can have bottles, bottling plants that expand out to where instead of getting plastic bottles of water, we get glass bottles of water. I remember when everything was glass and you had it and we reuse it. The key to the recycling is to make it a closed circle on island. That includes cardboard. Cardboard can be used to make paper. All the paper products can be used to make cardboard. We have a plastic bag ban coming up. It's going through the process right now. But what do? You're going to have to ship in paper bags. Why not use our cardboard recycling to make the paper bags to use here that everybody takes home? They fall apart after two of them. You put them in the recycling bin. They go back to the paper bag maker and make more and go around. You want to look at being a closed so you're sustainable. That's through everything. So that if anything that happens outside does not affect us. Therefore, our prices, because the thing is with like bottles, everything's going to cost 30, 40% more. That's usually the reason that you don't want to do it. It costs too much. But if you set it up and it costs X, if you have a closed system going, it should still cost X 30 years from now. And 30 years from now, what you paid X, if it's going out, it's going to cost you 5X. So it's a trade-off at the beginning. One of the issues on this supposedly was how did this economic downturn affect people? For myself, a decrease in wages. So there's less money. People buy repair surfboards and that, and people just don't have money to spend for it. Okay? At the same time, I've experienced a cost of living increase. So those are two things that I think is across the board on the West Side. So you have to bring those two together. We have to bring the cost of living down, or the wages have to come up. And both of them are, it's a spiral. If wages go up for local businesses, therefore the cost of local products are going to go up. So that's really a hard one, but that's how it's affected me. And I think it's affected throughout this side. Luckily, the west side of Kauai has been designated a historic town, historic community, one of the 12 historic communities in the United States. Upon the designation of that, this town receives quite a bit more visitors than we used to. Tourist businesses are doing fairly well, especially the eateries. The Nepali cruise boats have had a decrease in the amount of people because it is $100 for a trip, but they're still running, and they still have boats going out there. So I think, and also too, economically, corn, industrialized corn, has provided an economic base for farm workers, and PMRF has provided a very good base for the workers at PMRF and some jobs for our kids coming out of school on the higher end. So I don't think we have been hit that hard because we are not so much visitor-based. We don't have the large hotel operations going. So we're a little more down to earth, but I know it has hit everybody because, you know, percentages across the board, a lot of people go to Poipu and, you know, their work's down. So I think we've kind of escaped a lot of the bullet. But we're still, I mean, it's still costing more to live over here. Affordable housing does not exist on this side very much. And average rents in the paper, $1,300 a month. I don't know many people that can come out of high school and pay $1,300 a month. I don't know many four kids that can go work at McDonald's or make $10 an hour and make $1,300 a month. So it's hard to pay the bills. What's been happening that I see is that most of our kids now live with the families. And these are 20, 30s. But it's kind of West Side local style. As long as we have room, it's no problem. But there's not the opportunity for them to go out and do affordable housing, like to get move into affordable housing. There are some affordable housing areas on the books over here, but they're still a long ways down the line. I think that's pretty much about it for the notes I have. And I probably spent way too much time talking as usual. Okay, well, thank you. I'll pass this on.
I want to thank you, Bruce, because, you know, you have been, since you're a member of this community, you have looked to help the community that you live in and gone out and sought the concerns of the community here. And I know that you speak for many of the people in this community as well. Mahalo. Aloha, Paul.
Aloha. Thanks, Bruce. I think you really covered some good points there. Yeah, I came here mostly to listen, but I've always been amazed that there's not more farm agriculture on Kauai. You know, I mean, just the amount of food that the island residents have to go through, and just the very short window, maybe 3 or 4 days, I think, of some perishable supermarket, you know, produce that would run out if the supplies were interrupted. So I think that's Kauai grown sounds like a great idea, Mr. Costa. So I hope that that really gets some wind behind it and a lot of acreage behind it too.
I've been talking to many of my friends who are artists here in this community, particularly Hanapepe Town, which is noted for all its galleries. And business is way down. The galleries are suffering, and not as many people are coming out on Friday evenings for their evening walks. And that affects all the restaurants in the area as well, which affects a whole lot of people who work in these places. So art is not something that people are buying now because they have limited funds, but the artists are really, really hurting. So I wanted that to be heard this evening. The other thing is at my workplace. I work for one of the big boxes, have since it opened 6 years ago. I like my job, I like the company, but because of the economic situation, everyone in the store has been asked to increase their job responsibilities when we are already, in my opinion, overstressed in our job descriptions. I am now overstressed, and I find that this is permeating the entire store. So we have people leaving after work, stressed out, in a hurry to get home or to a bar or whatever to release their stress. And I think this is happening in a lot of places where companies, because of the economic situation, have had to lay off people. Now, my company has not laid off people, but they're not hiring. So they're just adding more job description to everyone's job. So this is creating stress, which is going to create illness, which is going to put pressure on our health systems. So just some things that it's trickle-down effect that's happening.
Going for a moment to the Recovery Act, one of the things we put up on the KKCR Be Heard website, there's a resources link, and if you click on that, it goes to another page. And as we come across various internet resources, you can click on different links there. We will post them. And one is a website called the Recovery Tracker. And there's a link there that goes to Kauai County, and that particular page shows that, as at least as of when I printed this sheet out today, the recovery funding for Hawaii is at $465 million, and for Kauai's piece of that's $23.9 million, roughly almost $24 million for that. And the interesting thing is it also gives a breakdown on this website of where the money's going. And the biggest one on here, just as a point of an interesting point of note, is almost $21 million for repaving the runway. But when you look at this list of you know where the money is coming from and where it's going, it seems like there would be money out there available for the things like the photovoltaic systems for the water system.
There is money. I mean, I went to those things. There is money to do that.
That was through the Department of agriculture, yeah?
Agriculture, yes. Yeah. Every department has Recovery Act money. And one of my questions to you guys is, what is our coordinated approach to the Recovery Act? One thing that we're interested in as a radio station, because we're doing distributed broadcasting, is having a better broadband capability across the island. There is a huge amount of money for broadband infrastructure in rural communities, but I have not seen any evidence of anybody even trying to go after it here on this island. If we had that kind of a communications infrastructure and broadband here, we could draw green industry, non-polluting kind of industry, to have like a science camp. That we have a very small version of that outside of PMRF. And I've worked in science for a very long time, and I know that we could really draw in people to come here and provide services and things that would be a big boon to the economy. They bring in a lot of money, these kind of industries, and but they do it through grants and things, but we have to have the infrastructure to host them. And I think that would be a nice alternative to relying solely on having tourists coming in and out of here. We're in a good position.
As far as the ARRA funding, you know, we've been working diligently on looking at the different streams of funding that come down, whether it be transportation, which we did get buses, by the way. But there's so many restrictions and requirements. It's not as easy as you folks think it is. But at the same time, I want to assure you, I'm not going to go into all the details of it, but we can talk about it in length. As far as the money is concerned, the big part of it, number one, was the projects had to be shovel-ready, meaning ready to go. So we had to sort through all the projects that we had. We did get funding for our photovoltaic on our county facility, so the Pequoy building, the Civic Center as well. We'll be receiving funding for that. We got monies, like I said, for busing. We have money for some of the program parts and business and jobs as well.
Question on that, because I noticed in the newspaper about a month ago, six RFPs that went out for like some small bridges throughout the island that looked like they were recovery monies.
Pool pie. Those are some of our CIP projects that we already had funding for.
You had funding for, but yeah.
And we had additional funds.
From the recovery. Yeah. So just to add those to
the
list.
So those were shovel-ready projects, if you will, that we had to identify. And so the requirements are very strict. And now the fiscal part of it and the managing of the funds is another very detailed part that is still not clear, if you will. So we're really looking at all the different streams of funding, whether it be from the USDA, federal, you know, the state, and seeing how they could apply to the existing projects we have, especially with all the environmental issues we're trying to address and sustainability and all that areas that we've been discussing over and over again. Ag is another one, of course. So we have many initiatives that we have in place that we've been working on. It's just working as closely as we can to secure the funds as they become available, and then, of course, making it apply to the restrictions and the requirements of each of the streams of funding that is coming now.
Yeah, I'd just like to add to what the mayor just said. From the Office of Economic Development, we do, you know, look at all the various sources of the AARA funding. And, you know, initially when that first came out at the beginning of the year, you know, billions of dollars, and so, you know, I myself thought, you know, that it wouldn't be easy, but that these funds would make their way at least to Kauai County. And what I've seen over the last 6 months, 6 to 8 months, is that a lot of these programs are formula based, and so you know, they're based on population. And a good example is our workforce development, which is part of the Office of Economic Development, received a $267,000 grant for workforce development. Of that, we had to divide that up to three programs, which two of them are in place right now. It's summer work program for youth and for displaced workers. But $267,000 doesn't go a long way. And to see that the state, out of the initial fund, I believe was $5 million. So, you know, the lion's share went to Oahu and then was spread out through the rest of the state, and Kauai County ended up with $267,000, which we're very thankful for. And it has affected, you know, a few people in a positive way, but that money will soon run out. So it's somewhat frustrating, but it doesn't, you know, diminish our efforts to go out and look at more funding. Another example is energy. You know, there was another energy grant that just came out. It was in the paper a couple of weeks ago. $9.3 million was awarded to the state. And so when we contacted the Department of Economic Development and Tourism and said, okay, you know, where's our piece? And Kauai is not getting any of it. A third is actually going to Hawaiian Homeland, so in a way that's good. Another part of it is going to accounting and general services to address, I guess, maintenance in buildings. And then the other part is going to be divided up amongst the rest of the state agencies on weatherization. So in a way, that's a good thing, but still, you know, Kauai County came out on the short end of it. So, you know, not to make any excuses, we're continuing to look at other areas that we can get some of these funds and put it to good use for Kauai. I took some notes here, and I just wanted to address some of the concerns that were brought up earlier. And I know, Bruce, you bring up some very good points. And when I mentioned working with the Cattlemen's Association, one of the ideas, and again, it's an idea, was the use of those 3,000 acres up Mauka was actually suggested for the finishing of the cattle. And that would be a perfect place to use range grasses up there. And another part of that whole piece, again, you want to look at sustainability, recycling, is maybe some of our compost and other areas can be used to revitalize the rangelands that will be used to finish off the cattle. So that's one of the ideas that have come up recently about utilizing some of those lands. You know, it's a double-edged sword. I know there's concerns about the Pacific Missile Range and the seed corn, but at the same time, you know, the West Side communities have benefited from those companies, and you know, your employment has done well on the West Side. A few weeks ago, just out of curiosity, I came to Waimea and just wanted to see, you know, and talk to different businesses and see how their, you know, the economy was affecting them. And you know, I don't get out to the West Side often, but, you know, the days that I did come out, Waimea Town was doing very well, thank you. The restaurants were busy. You've got some new restaurants that have just recently opened, and you know, those entrepreneurs seem to feel that, you know, the West Side has provided them with an opportunity. So, you know, hats off to Waimea and Ke Kaha. I think one of the benefits you have is that you are a small rural community. You haven't expanded so that you're relying on some of these industries that have faltered and now are affecting some of our other island people. So I think that's been a real benefit for Kauai. Artists in Hanapepe, actually, I was approached by some of the businesses, and tomorrow I'm actually going out. Actually, Thursday, I'm going to be out in Hanapepe to talk to some of the businesses there, and some have expressed their concerns that their businesses aren't doing well. But then there's a couple others that have approached me that say they'd like to expand their business. So I'd like to find out more about those businesses and see what they're doing, so we can, you know, duplicate their efforts.
So just one thing, we're busy on the West Side. I believe we could be much busier. I've brought this up for the last decade. Is it's really hard for people to spend money in Waimea when they have nowhere to stop. We have limited parking in Waimea. It's actually, I think it's held back a lot of the businesses because there's only a few parking spaces. There's not much land available for parking to be purchased or to be used. And I think that's one of the issues that needs to be looked at. Maybe the county and in Waimea, Kikikiola down here by the mill could try to work out something for parking in that area. There is parking across from the theater a little bit by the shrimp station. But that's something that would benefit this side, is an addition for visitors that come through here to park. And I really would like to see somebody look at it, but I don't really think you're going to get very far unless we tear a few buildings down, which I really don't want to. Okay, thank you.
We have some more members of the community that have come in, and I'm glad they're here. Because one of my concerns also is, because of the economic downslide and because of the loss of jobs, not only in the visitors industry, but all around, many of the families, many single parents who are raising children, and what's happening is they're going to be losing their homes. I know five families are going to be losing their homes. They have been doing everything they can to try and pay off the mortgage, even bringing other families who have lost their homes already into their household to share expenses. And they're going to be homeless soon. Also, what's happening is, and shortly, the state, there's going to be a lot of statewide layoffs in regards to social services as well. These families who are going to be losing their homes are going to be needing some type of services. What's happening is anytime you find that the community is going to be affected to such a degree, a lot of times that community turns to substance abuse. And we've seen a rise of alcoholism. We've seen a rise of ICE use. And we're still trying to look at ways and means to address these issues, which I'm glad this one of the members of the community has come here, because many of our local families, Kanaka Maoli, have been suffering with this problem for a long time. And being in the mainland, I was involved with substance abuse counseling. And the basic method in terms of the approach was very good for those who were of, I should say, European descent. But those who were culturally different, basically, it didn't, the services that were offered did nothing to address, because culturally speaking, people are from different, they address things differently. The Hispanic community had difficulty in rehabilitation because rehabilitation wasn't approached through a cultural way, as here in the islands. And I, since coming back, I've seen that there are ways that our people have addressed our cultural issues in an Ohana style, but the way that is being offered in terms of substance abuse counseling, it really doesn't do anything to address that issue. And today we have one of the members of the community here who's been trying for the longest time to provide something that would address the issues of our people, our local people and our Kanaka Maoli, in terms of addressing the substance abuse problem. And I'd like to, at this point, introduce Glenn Kapahu.
Aloha. You know, the substance abuse problem, mainly the ICE problem that's been affecting on our people. I am working on a program called In This Life. I'm also the chapter leader for the Kauai Garden Angels, and it's an entity that came together, I guess maybe through, well, not I guess, I know, through Kekua. Well, first of all, In This Life is a program that came to me in a dream through Brother Ease is my first cousin. We've kind of been there, done that. And Ease was always worried about the future of our Keikis, our people. So in a lot of his last songs, they're all messages that not too much people hear, but us Hawaiians, we hear, we feel. So we used to talk about it when I was in Halawa, and he told me, cuz, you know, for the future of our people and our Keikis, we need to fix everything in this life. Not the next life, this life. And that makes sense. So when I got home in 2000, he died in 97 while I was in Waiawa. And when he died, I got kind of pissed off because we talked about doing something to help our people pertaining to this ICE problem. But your dreams, the dreams that I would have at night, I would explain it to my girlfriend the next day. And within a week, the dream appears. Second dream, same thing. Within a week, the dream appears. After the third dream, she told me, oh, honey, this is getting kind of spooky. Because everything was appearing. So, through a dream, I came up with, in this life, a one-year minimum ICE epidemic treatment rehabilitation self-sufficient ranch facility. What we needed was to help our people get off the drug. In the meantime, can I establish food sustainability? Ranch, farm, garden. And one thing I learned about being in the drug world is you got to do to know what the solution is. And I've been there, you know. I took it as far as anybody else would take it. But I thank Kiakua that he let me come back. I guess there's for a reason. So I always tell everybody that I believe that Kiakua made me walk that path first, which was a path not too much people can walk, so that I could do what I need to do now. So we came up with In This Life, ranch facility, self-sufficient ranch facility, raised food, ranch, farm, garden. What this drug did is took everybody away from their priorities in life, which is ohana and aina. All we need to do is put it back, put them back. Because of the severity of this drug, all these six-month programs are not working because of its severity. They need a one-year minimum. And they need to be occupied all the time. So with the ranch, we have aftercare right into a community. Aftercare is like a safe haven for a lot of people that get out of the programs. Six-month programs, when they're done, when they send people out, they got nowhere to go, so they end up back with the wrong crowd again. Aftercare is like a safe haven, some place for them to stay and eventually get on with their life. And the purpose of the ranch, farm, and garden is to establish food sustainability, because gotta eat. And with the program, you want to bring the ohana together, so after maybe a month probation in the program, they can have their families come up, ohana, build a playground, horses, whatever it takes to bring ohana together. Eventually, the ohana will get involved with the ranch, the farm, the garden, to establish food sustainability, which is one of the major problems that we have besides the ICE problem. And I got involved, well, in 2005, I had a friend that was in the Guardian Angels, just so happened came to the valley to spend a weekend, him and his son. Just so happened that day, we were on our way to a meeting to Lihue. Apparently, attorney Aid Kubo was speaking at the convention hall. So we ended up going. So on my way out from the house, my friend pulls up. So he tells me, where are you going? Tell a meeting. What kind? Drugs. Wanna go? He tell me, shoot. So I tell him, okay, can we go with your rent a car? Shoot. Can I drive? Shoot. So we went. When we walked in, Mr. Ed Kubo was on the stage talking. But as we walked in, he kept looking at us. He was looking at my friend. because they work with the Guardian Angels on Oahu. He kept looking. He sat down. And when he was speaking, he talked about the drug problems on Oahu and you know, how it's affected so much neighborhoods. But he said they're also very fortunate to have this elite organization that's been helping a lot with the drug problems, you know, in the neighborhood. And they're called the Guardian Angels. So I turned to look at my friend, he's making eyes at me. That's why Ed Kubo was looking at him. He recognized my friend as one of the Guardian Angels. So when he was done, my friend kind of raised his hand and introduced himself, said he came to Kauai to spend a weekend with Brother Glenn in the valley for some R&R. And he was, oh, and by the way, I'm with the Guardian Angels. On the way home, I get a call from Mr. B. Oh, you know your friend? Can you have him talk to his superiors so they could come and speak to the committee? Then we had the meeting in Kekaha. You know, they talked about bringing him down. Roy Nishida was there. And this is the day they agreed to pay for two of the Guardian Angels to come. The county was going to pay for one. The West Kauai Coalition, through Chief Westman, paid for the other. But they brought four people down. So they had the meeting at Kekaha. Chico, who is the chapter leader of Hawaii, introduced the Guardian Angels, told them what they were about, and they were very impressed with what they were about, because my purpose was to bring the Guardian Angels into the community, because all these neighborhood watch and citizen patrol wasn't working anymore. You know, the guys wasn't afraid of grandma, auntie, uncle walking around the neighborhood. In fact, grandma, auntie, uncle was more afraid of these guys. So the community was getting really nasty, you know. Okay, so we brought the Guardian Angels. I wanted to put more authority into the neighborhood. And I figured his red cap and his white, you know, white T-shirts, which is a worldwide entity, would have some effect. And it did. So the purpose of bringing the Guardian Angel was to bring more authority into the neighborhood, more safety. And we've accomplished that. Right now we have about a dozen strong, but we get some others that float in that kind of feeling things out. But we do patrols at least once a week in Kekaha, Waimea, or Hanapepe. Now I get calls from all over the island if we can come patrol their community. I told them eventually we will, but we need to clean our yard first. But if you want to start a chapter in your community, we'll come over and help you start a chapter. I tell them one thing about these red berets and this white shirt. They are effective. Wherever we go, they are effective. When we do Hanapepe, we get people from all over the states come down and visit. And everybody recognized the Guardian Angels. Like, oh, Guardian Angels in Hawaii? Yep. You know, so it's in this life, and the Guardian Angel is like one entity. They're on the same purpose of doing what we need to, bringing safety to the community, working with these drug problems. But this drug problem, this ice problem, until we deal with it, it's not going to go away. I mean, you can't be talking about it and not doing nothing about it. You know, what we need is the community to get involved. So we're having a fundraiser. Anyway, you guys let buy ticket for beef stew plate. No laugh. Before you guys leave here, I'm going to make you guys buy ticket. Yeah, you can buy about 10. But anyway, we're doing fundraisers. In 2007, in Tirol and Sagan, we applied for this legislative grant. We got awarded it, the grant. But apparently before we get a chance to get the money, Governor Lingo cut all the funds. He said, hey, that's plenty of guys losing their job. You know, to me, more important that people keep their job, the grants, that we can work on later. But because we lost the grant, so now we're doing fundraisers. And you know, Keiko is so much a part of our entity. We pull it every time we start, we pull it anything we do. And now I'm here, I talk about in this life and I tell them I'm on a mission. And they look at me, because I am on a mission. I'm on a mission that pertains to the welfare of my people, my ohana, my friends, and the future of our kids. You know, so I get all kind of groups come up to me, you know, try this, try that. Somebody, you do what you're doing, Kanakama, all his kingdom. Everybody has the thing to do in this world. My job is to take care of this ice problem that's affecting our people, our honey, and our friends, you know, the future of our kiki.
Now, Glenn, you had shared with me before that you're still looking for a place that you can have this ranch. But what happens is you had an idea to go up to Koke'e, which is a healing place. And what happened? You spoke to DLNR?
Well, what I really wanted to do was to get on Hawaiian homeland. There's a lot of available Hawaiian homeland on the west side. You know, we're trying to keep it on the west side. You don't want too much influences on the west side as you have on the other side. You know, keep them in a mountain, keep them in the bushes. You know, that's where they need to be. That's the way you can heal. You cannot heal out in the city with all the influence running around you. So up Koke'e, they have a place called Po'opae, which is mountain, rugged terrain, but if we can get accessibility into it, it'd be an awesome place for a ranch facility. Plus get a lot of free cow running around, so it's a good start. But we really need some land, and I think, well, I'm pretty sure that if we do get a land or facility, then everything else will open up. Right now, it can't open up because we have nothing to show, you know, what we want to do. And if anybody have any suggestions or any thing that can help us in this situation, it'll be very well appreciated. You know, it just got to be done, man. Enough talk already. You know, in this life has a very significant meaning to it. We need to fix everything in this life, not the next life. This life. For the future of our keikis, our people, we need to fix everything in this life. Like I said, I'm on a mission, man. We're going to do this with or without anybody's kokua, because Kiakua is giving us guidance and the faith that we need to do it. And what it's going to show is the ones who care can step forward. The ones that don't give a damn, they're going to back off.
I want to thank you, Glenn, for coming. Well, Kiakua brought you here.
Mahalo.
I want to thank everybody for coming and joining us, and especially you, Mayor Bernard Carvalho. Mahalo. And also George Costa. Thank you so much for coming here. And, you know, I think you get an ear for you. But you also shared something that... But I also, I'm so glad that you came. And even though you were coming here to just listen to the community, you also shared with the community. So mahalo for your presence. And I want to mahalo everybody for coming here. And mahalo KKCRGM for listening to the community and finally doing something about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what this is all about. So thanks. Thanks everybody for coming out, and special thanks to the mayor and to George for being here. So aloha.
And I also want to thank Louis Kabibi over there. See, there he is for coming here and videotaping this for us. Mahalo.